Welcome back, Venture fans. We've got a fresh, sweet, and spicy episode for ya. But before we dive in, I want to let you know that this is the first part of a two-part finale, so make sure to stay tuned for the episode's conclusion when we publish the next episode. Of course, I also want to take the time to say thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song, to Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music, and to all the wonderful folks who donate to keep this show running via our Patreon. You all rock our socks. Also, you know I gotta say it, if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving a rating and review in your podcatcher app of choice. In particular, we really need folks to throw up those stars on Spotify to make it really easy for new folks to find the show and join our party. I also want to mention that in the wake of some critical social media site upheaval, the best and most direct way to get Venture Maidens news, updates, and to interact with us directly is by joining our Discord server. Discord is a lovely forum/chatroom-style platform for connecting with like-minded folks across the world. And I'm proud to say that our Venture Maidens Discord server is a truly lovely place, where people can chat not only about the show, but also find friends to game with, recipes to try, books to read, D&D tips, and so much more. You can find the link to join our Discord pinned to our website and social media sites, as well as in the podcast show notes for this episode. Alright, with the announcements all wrapped up, I'm gonna hit you with that quick recap of what happened last time, then we'll start the action. Last time, on Venture Maidens, our heroes entered Castle Dread and quickly discovered the ancient castle was much more than just a ruin. As they explored the rooms, they witnessed psychic memories from Penny Dreadful's past and discovered golden pages that magically filled in the missing pages of Gwen's ritual book. After a series of encounters that pushed our maidens' emotions and monstrous natures to the limit, the crew came upon the strangest sight of all, a version of Penny as a frail and broken imitation of the storyteller who had guided them during their time in the Archfey's realm. And that's what happened. So now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Fractured pieces once concealed are in focus, now revealed. Our heroes must make the call to make Penny jump or fall. Embrace Shadow as we head into Favor, episode 27, Swan Song, part 1.
Now live. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Oh my god. And today we are 27 years old. 27. Wow, we hot. We fly. We ready. This is going to be a really big episode because this is going to be the finale of our first arc of the Favor campaign. So how is everybody feeling? Are we ready to get into like full ass finale mode?
I can't believe we're already here. It feels like we just started.
It does, but it's been a year, hasn't it, since the... Wow.
But it's been a year, yeah. So that's about right. I mean, we've got a lot of episodes behind us. We're level 5, you know?
Oh, God. I am so happy to be at level 5, by the way. Level 1 was rough.
I was rough, and I really deeply appreciated the very sexy fight we had at level 5 a couple episodes ago, so I'm feeling much more confident. We're 25% of the way through all the levels that exist in D&D, and 25% of the way through our story, so hell yeah. Yeah, all right, well, shit, let's do it. Let's get into it. Hey, everybody, if you're new, odd time to jump in, but welcome. We are the Venture Maidens. We are a D&D 5th edition actual play stream that converts to a podcast. We do it all here. This is a very adult-themed stream, so you can expect standard themes of graphic fantasy violence, that sort of thing. We keep a general body horror content warning up. We also have some other content warnings for this episode. It has been a very dark delve these last couple of episodes, so we're giving additional warnings for grief, references of harm to children, self-harm, and psychological horror. Did I miss any, Sage? We've got a few.
Yeah. Graphic fantasy, violence, body horror, psychological horror, references to harm to children, grief, and self-harm. Yeah, I think we covered them all. Yeah, real lighthearted romp.
Could be a real good time. Real lighthearted romp. But hell yeah, let's do it. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, my name is Celeste Conowich, and tonight I will be your dungeon master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm going to be playing Laviri Sath, your very worried drow rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim. I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Fitonia Silvertail.
And I'm Sage, and tonight I will be your bombastic bard, Aoife Flannery.
Last time we had left you, you had basically spent all of last episode winding through Castle Dread, which is almost like this mausoleum of memories to what happened to Penny and what has caused her to be trapped in her own domain inside this weird world that she's built for herself. So from room to room you had gone, you'd learned a little bit about her. You know that she had a changeling daughter named Gwen, but it's a little unclear what happened to her. And then you know that there was this machine that Penny built, that she used the Enigma Codex to find and build this machine, and she did, but it didn't work as intended, and something happened, and now she's fractured. She's appearing in all these different ways to you. You've met now several versions of Penny, and one calls herself Gwen, which was the name of the daughter, and it's all a lot. And it was a lot in that very last scene of that episode where you had come up to that final room, that study, and encountered this woman that you've been seeing in your dreams, this version of Penny who had been reading you this storybook. And in those last moments, she had gone through everything. And now she is across from you as she has just finished her manic note writing across this board where she had told you this story in fragmented pieces. And now she just puts down that chalk, that piece of chalk she had been writing with on the very edge as she had written those final words, "Kill me, please." She puts it down and she had sat down on this stool across from you all, who are crammed on this, like, dusty, you know, broken down sofa in the middle of this dilapidated study. And she had said, "Well, after a short break, I would be happy to answer any questions." And she had just kind of paused and folded in on herself. And she's looking, her eyes are open, but she is very, very far away. As you all are kind of sitting there in what I imagine might be stunned silence, having just listened to this and seeing this mess on the chalkboard in front of you.
And this is in our dreamy childlike state?
Nope. This is all of you, real people here sitting in this room with, but the study is an imitation, or, well, it's close to what you have been seeing over the last few pieces, right? That, like, this woman, she's clearly the woman, the black hair, but it's now, like, streaked with gray, and those, like, green eyes that were so beautiful and enticing seem dull and sad, and even her fine clothing is ruined and dusty. Like, she's just been here for so long. So you're in that place. This whole place is familiar, but it's decayed. It's different.
Lou is gonna guide her, like, light hand on the back, hand on her elbow to, like, the chair that she had been sitting in when she read us the story, and to help her sit down for a moment.
Yeah, she like, kind of is startled, like, as you touch her, right? And she, like, comes back to where she is and, you know, nods and lets you kind of escort her over to this chair. And as you move her, she just seems so frail. You know, it's like it's hard for her to walk, and she feels like nothing as you, she slumps down into this chair.
Okay. We have a lot of questions. You might need a little break. We think we should discuss before we figure out what exactly it is that we want to come to you with and ask. But give us just a moment. We'll be right here.
She nods far away.
Lou just kind of, like, does, like, awkward, I don't know what to do, flutter hands, and gives her a little pat on the shoulder, and kind of looks back and then skitters back over to the rest of the squad. And she's like, "So she's unwell. not really what I remember or whatever this is. Where do we begin with that? And she just looks over at this like insane like chalkboard of stuff that she's written. She's like, I don't know how to fix this for her, let alone us. So I guess we can start with where things kind of went wrong with the machine and see if she can help us figure out how to use it to maybe reverse things and how to even get a hold of the Lady of Shadows. And she kind of looks over at Gwen awkwardly and she's like, maybe you should have a sit down too, sweetie.
Yeah, Gwen kind of, she, at the end of last time, she had positioned herself on a chair because she just, after seeing everything, all of your monstrous transformations and seeing herself. And again, Gwen looks like a young, identical version of this woman who is like browbeaten, you know, sitting in this chair. And so Gwen is staring at this woman, just honestly in total shell shock at this point. Like, Gwen has experienced so much in such a short amount of time. You're not even sure if she's, yeah, like, listening to you. She just keeps staring at this woman. And so when you talk to her directly, she snaps out of it and looks up, and this is all, it's too much. I don't understand any of this. Who is she? Why does she? And she said we're the same, and I don't, why would anyone say that? She's looking at the board, you know, it doesn't kill me, please. She's like, why?
Is Penny still holding the book she was reading?
No. That book she was reading from is actually nowhere to be seen in this room.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping to just, like, take the book and run.
Oh, if only. Oh, if only.
We do need one more page of the book, too, so finding that, if she has any idea where that is, that would be... I think we should start there. I feel like maybe if we have the book, it will open a lot of other doors for us to look into.
Perhaps literally and metaphysically.
Yeah, and then Lucha's eyes just go back to the crazy board. And she's like, Gwen, I don't honestly know what to tell you right now, other than we're here to help you. And I know that we might be scary, but our intentions are pure. And we're going to do whatever we can to make sense of this for you.
Okay. I mean, we're too far now, right? This isn't going to go away. So I might as well just...
It's less that we're this far in and more that we're so close to finding an answer. So, it's not that there's no return, it's that we've almost won. Okay? And she just kind of, like, takes out a hanky from her bag and dabs it underneath her eyes.
I think something is... I'm afraid. And I don't know why.
I'd be afraid, too. It's only fair. Some scary shit. This lady looks like you. This castle is awful. But you're not alone. If I could give you any sort of consolation, I'm scared too.
I can't imagine what it's like to suddenly learn that your whole life is everything that you've known is a fiction. Aoife looks off to the side, sort of out the window.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just figure out what to do next.
Lou looks like she's, like, gonna go in to, like, hug her, and then just kind of is like, okay. The page will help us. I'll go ask about it. That will be helpful here. And she'll go back over to older Gwen. What are we calling her? Librarian?
Okay. You can call her Penny.
Penny, okay. And she'll kneel down next to her and once again, kind of like softly try to snap her out of it by putting her hand on hers. Penny, you wouldn't happen to have a golden page? We're trying to complete a book to hopefully get some more clarity here, and we're missing one.
I'm not sure if you were listening to all that, but if you take that page, you'll see her, the lady. That's how you get to her. You put the pages together and then you see her, and she is the reason for all of this. She's the one who did it. She's the one who did it. It wasn't me. And it certainly wasn't her. And she looks over at Gwen. If you see her, she will kill you. She has taken so much. She will take you too.
Well, we're going to try to avoid that, but we're good at what we do. Okay, we're monster hunters here, but we trust in each other and we form this group that I think can do just about anything as long as we go and prepared and we rely on each other. So if we have this page, and before we combine anything, we get as much information as we can and we formulate a plan, I really do think that we can do this because we are going to be prepared and we have all boxes checked. We're a good team. So you just have to have some faith. And I know that it's hard, but as you said, we're the only ones who have gotten this far. That's got to count for something.
Yes. Yes, and you are monster hunters. That, yes, that feels about right.
So, once we do get this page and we do feel ready to combine them all and to summon her here, I know that she's a horrible monster, as you said, but is there some way using that machine that kind of started all of this insanity to...
No, she destroyed the machine. It's like she knew there was no return from this. So when you face her, and she gets really, really close to you and like really wide eyes and whispers, "We will all die when she dies. And I think that's for the best. But don't tell her." And she, like, grabs your wrist really, really, really tight when she says her. Her eyes flick over to Gwen. Don't you tell her.
I don't know how I would even deliver that news, so don't worry about it.
This isn't a life, you know, here, like this, locked away, mourning our daughter. This is no life.
What happened to her?
Shadow Lady. Anyway, if you wish to confront her, that is why I am here. I am here to help. She waves a hand towards this, like, set of bookshelves. It's mostly destroyed, but you can see a couple of books. And she waves a hand. Page should be in there. Once you put them on the lectern, you will see the stairs. And you can confront her. Us.
Okay, well, let me discuss with my team. We want to make sure that we make the best decision here.
I'm sorry, by the way, that you got caught up in all of this. We never meant. It doesn't matter.
You don't need to be sorry to us. We decided to come here. We knew it wasn't going to be a piece of cake. So we're going to do our best for you and for Gwen.
Gwen. And she smiles a little at hearing that name.
Maybe you want to talk to her?
Her? Gwen is dead.
No, I know. But I think that she might be with you guys a little bit. Some aspect of her. I mean, look at this Gwen.
I don't know why she picked that name. Though I guess maybe that is why. To keep a little piece alive.
Lou's, like, tearing up and just kind of, like, slaps her cheeks and she's like, okay, I'll be back. We're not gonna jump into anything without, you know, saying so give me a minute. She'll go back to everyone and relay everything and just be like, she doesn't seem to think that there's a way that, you know, obviously with Gwen distance.
Gwen can stare out a window somewhere forlornly. And Rook will be like, I have nothing to contribute to this conversation. So she'll, like, walk her over to the window and just be like, ooh, look at the sky. Rook is like, this is like way above my head.
God. Tony is like looking longingly over at the window, like she's deeply confused as well. Like, wait, Gwen is dead? But I thought she did all this. Who is this? What does she mean that she's the one who did this to her? I thought she built the contraption that did the what? Okay.
I don't think anybody else knows either. It seems very scattered and fractured, just like she is. But it doesn't seem like she believes that there's any way for herself, Penny, or this Gwen to come out of it. She said that if we kill the Lady of Shadows, then all of the parts of her will cease to exist.
And she have any insights on how we could do that?
Kill her?
Yeah.
She said that the last page, which is over there somewhere in the bookcases, will, once combined with the rest of them, create a way, a stairwell, to get to the lady. But she didn't give me any specific combat instructions. You can ask, though. I can't keep talking to her. It's really, really bumming me out.
Yeah, this is a super bummer, dude.
And I don't know if you guys know this about me, but if there's not a specific physical thing that I can fix, I really feel out of my league here. I'm not good at just accepting emotions and not having a solution. So I don't like this.
None of us have actually, like, mentioned the Enigma Codex to Penny, right?
Mm-mm. No.
Tony wants to walk up to her and ask, so, Penny, you've had this Enigma Codex, correct? You've had it for some time. You've must have studied it. There has to be something. I mean, all the information in the world and the universe is in there. Is there anything that we could take away to help us in this situation?
And she seems to consider the book as many things, many great and wonderful things, and many things that were never meant to be known. And it's hard to tell the difference. The machine was supposed to change. It was supposed to help. It changed. It changed us, but it did not help. I do not think anything from that book could help anyone, and I was a fool to think I could use it differently. I don't know where that book came from, but it is evil. It is an evil thing. And it doesn't warn, doesn't speak of consequences. Just all the information in the world. Every story, we were never meant to know that much. That is certain. Why do you ask about the book? She says with, like, sudden fear kind of flashes across her face.
Well, we'd heard that that's how you managed to come here and build the things you built.
Yes, the machine. I found it in the book's pages, and it split us into three. And one of that three, or perhaps two, was the worst of us. And it has not gone well. And I fear the best of us is doomed. Just like Gwen was. From the minute we built that thing.
Okay. Well, I'm feeling ready to take this thing on. We have someone waiting for us back in the village and or the town. And their life depends on our success as well.
And she smiles again, thinking about something else.
Who's got you smiling like that?
Oh. The town. Storyville. Or was it Tillmore? Storyville. Where we met our daughter. And she, the smile quickly turns into like a sad, sad expression as she goes on that journey.
Tony gives like an awkward kind of pat on her shoulder and is like slinks away back to her friends. So I think it's page time.
Looking at this bookshelf, hearing that if we defeat the Lady of Shadows, that the other two aspects will also die. And feeling that this might be the last time that anyone ever sees or hears of Penny, Aoife wants to look through her bookshelf, one, for the last page of the Enigma Codex, but also for any personal books or journals or diaries or, you know, personal touches from Penny, because she wants to bring back something to Storyville. Something for the people who, all of the people who loved her, to remember her by.
Yeah, and I think there's probably not going to be anything in a cohesive, like, format here. It looks like, you know, the ramblings on the walls and the drawings and stuff, like, this has become, like, the kind of nightmarish diary, right? This is her autobiography across this room here. And honestly, in the state she's been in, and if she has truly been here for like 100 years or so, you probably think all the way people would like to remember her, I don't think there's anything left of that Penny for you to find here.
And as Aoife thumbs through all these different books, you know, looking for some trace of who Penny was and coming up lacking, she just kind of sighs and shakes her head and begins looking for the page, last page of the codex.
Yeah. And it's like right when you kind of give up, right, looking through these like ramblings and these pages that are, you know, torn out, or like she's just written things like notes across the surfaces of the page. You flip to one of the back of these things and that golden page kind of falls out. And you see also on the side of the room, too, Gwen at this point now has kind of moved over towards the chair where Penny is sitting. And she's just looking at her with her arms crossed. And Penny is looking up at her. And so there's these two identical, but like of different age, women staring across from each other. And Gwen says, "So my book, my ritual to lay her to rest, it's going to work. Right?" And Penny looks up at her and says, "Perhaps. There's no harm in trying. Right?" And Gwen looks down and her eyes fill with tears and she's, "Okay. Well, then you should help us. You can't just keep sitting here like this. You can't just do nothing." And Penny stares up at her and says, "Okay. If you'll have me."
"I think we'll need all the help we can get."
"All right, then," Gwen says, "let's do this. I'm tired of this place, this fucking place."
"Yeah, get mad. Good. Hold on to that. I'm fucking sick of this place, too."
"Yeah, it is terrible here."
Out of character, I think knowing that the Shadow Lady, being the impulsive and passionate aspect of Penny, I feel like we could probably appeal to her in being like, look what this has gotten you so far. If you have this knowledge for this contraption and how to use it, and you've purposely destroyed it, you know, you clearly did not meet the ends you wanted to meet. So maybe if you all come together, there's a chance we could convince her that it'd be better if she were reunited with herself.
Yes, Bard, I have faith in you to make this happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you will yes, be the Bard. One rolling that check.
Yes. And the therapy check will be done. I will, at this point, Katie, I feel like there's something that maybe Lou might have noticed, a discrepancy that is, like, nagging at the back, I think, of Lou's head. Why don't you go ahead and make me an intelligence check to see if you can remember?
14.
Okay. It's something that Penny has said a couple of times. She keeps saying, Gwen is dead, Gwen is dead. But something about that is bugging you.
A lot of things are bugging me.
Yeah, but you had an experience outside of Gwen's mausoleum, too, right? That
she was not inside the tomb.
You couldn't feel a spirit there.
Yeah, and all she really told us was that the Lady of Shadows did something to her.
Well, this Penny has told you Gwen is dead.
But when I asked, like, what happened to her, she just said the Lady of Shadows did something.
I'll just say that's just, like, kind of the one piece of the puzzle that still isn't really fitting anywhere.
Well, I guess keep her eyes out for her daughter.
Well, what the hell's up with that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Lou will mention that and be like, do you think that's something that we should bring up to her? Or do you think that's just going to make her needlessly upset again? And
I don't think that, yeah, we don't need to upset this girl anymore.
Either of them. Fragile is a good way to describe these two.
My whole life is a lie. I don't have a soul. Like, what else do you got?
Listen, yeah, I'm not real. Oh God, I'm gonna die. Oh wow, I've been going like banana pants in a tower by myself writing math equations. Oh Lord. And apparently number three of this three-part personality is the worst. So we'll see.
I just think it's so, I don't know. It's so weird that the Gwen that we're with, like, doesn't know anything. And I don't know. It's all weird, but...
Yeah, also, like, why would the machine do this? Like, how does that work? Like, why were they separated into these three pieces? What do they mean? There's a lot of, like, what? They don't seem to have very much in common either. So, like, I don't... It's other than the way they all look, apparently.
Yeah. And nobody knows how to fix the machine, so we can't really go find out that. And when we were looking at the writing and stuff all around it, we couldn't understand it. So, yeah, I don't think we have time to fix a machine anyway, so.
Yeah, Lorelai is going to be dying in, like, 2 hours.
Okay, well, let's just keep that in mind and proceed to fight an archfey and maybe figure out things along the way. I'm not nervous.
It's either about to be a real therapy session or a near-death battle.
Or both.
So let's do it.
Both at the same time. Let's do it. Let's mix it up. We like to keep it spicy, our adventure made. Is it therapy or is it combat? We'll see.
That's life.
Some therapy feels that way.
What is therapy but battling oneself?
Yeah, in fantasy we can do it literally, so let's do it. All right, so you have the 5 pages, and Penny did mention, put the pages in the book, put the book on the lectern, and apparently a staircase will appear.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go field trip. I'm so nervous.
Good. Clench your butts. All right. So you take your page, your well-worn glowing pages, and you make your way back through the castle. And every once in a while, Lou, you see the images of the servants of this place and the pets and the people and the guards and everyone who must have been here in their heyday. And you know that they're ghosts, but they look so real. They all kind of watch you weirdly. As you go
almost like they know something is about to change. And you make your way down to that lectern, and there are more of them there. Maybe dozens of these servants just kind of quietly watching with an expression of hope? Or is it fear? You're not really sure, but you're the only one who can see this. Part of those hundreds of souls that are trapped here in this place.
Pressure. Lou's just like seething.
I'll put the book in its place. I feel like I should be the one to do that.
Yeah, so you do. You like slot in the pages and they, you know, stop being gold the minute they're in attached to the spine, right? And they just become these final pages. And you can see as the book is filled, right? Because it was the last like 5 pages that were torn out of this book. This book that Gwen had, this book that she stole from the church before leaving, this book that is apparently about, you know, exorcisms and like putting dark spirits to rest. And you see these last 5 pages detail a ritual to lay the dead to rest.
Before we go further, maybe if this is something we're going to try, we should know these steps.
Yeah, it's a lot of chanting and saying specific words and then things with like holy water and like a cross and stuff. And this is all stuff like as Gwen is, you know, reading through it, she is pulling this shit out of her bags and because she brought all of this stuff with her, right? And she's like handing a bunch of it to Penny, who's just kind of standing there like a wisp behind her. She's holding this stuff. And so Gwen's like, okay, so I'm going to get up there and I'm going to have to read this section and I can't be interrupted as I'm doing it, and I think if I have enough time that should do it.
How much time do you need us to buy you an estimate?
And she's like tracing her finger, and you can see like the stanzas and the stanzas of this foreign language, which is Latin, but you would have no idea coming from your, you know, fantasy world. It seems to be quite a bit of text. Aoife, you would be, as a performer, you'd be like, I would have trouble reading that in a minute. But maybe it's possible.
That's a lot of 6 seconds.
That's a lot of rounds, huh?
Okay. Woo! Everyone, do your best.
So, Tony, do you want to put the book on the stand now that it's all completed?
Yes.
Yee! And instantly, as you do, you all hear like a clanging and a clattering coming from the ceiling up above as you see the stones up there, the dusty stones, begin to shake and move as like this trap door opens up in the ceiling and slides away, and these like rusty stairs are, you know, like creaking as they're going down, and the ancient mechanisms are activated for the first time in decades. This very thin spiral iron wrought staircase lowers down to the ground and like rests with a final clang. And yeah, your eyes can travel upwards and you just see like darkness beyond to whatever this space is up above.
All right, who's going first? I can go first.
Okay, well, I'm right fucking behind you then.
I never thought I'd say this to you, but please be right on my ass. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You got
right
it.
Right up in there. Right up in there.
And Lou will start making her way up, just like under her breath, like mumbling positive affirmations to herself.
And then Rook will be like, wait. Okay, so wait. So if this trick needs to read for like a minute, and if there's going to be some creepy ghost, I guess, right? Lady of Shadow, should I protect her or like, should we put someone on her or what?
Yeah.
Who's like throat ripping and who's like doing the guard thing?
I mean, actually, probably Tony's going to be the best because she can help shield, right?
Yeah.
Even though I know you love a good throat ripping, so I'm sorry.
Well, should she get too close?
Throat rip away.
So I'm guarding Gwen, little Gwen?
I guess if she's reading it, but I don't know. What about the other one? And she like kind of looks over at Penny, it's like whispering. Do we just let her die or what? She's kind of a bummer.
Wow.
What? She wanted to die. She wrote it on the.
That's today. What if we win? She's going to really regret that shit tomorrow.
Just be careful what you ask for.
Oh my God. Rook, I would really like if, Wolf, you could come fight with me, because I need somebody up there with me, by the way, so.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, that's where you need me.
Really helpful, now. Lou just starts making her way up the stairs.
She, like, rolls her eyes. Listen, I need a drink, so this is, like, if we could wrap this up, that would be great. Cool. All right, so we are walking up the stairs and about to walk into whatever situation this is. So I wanted to do one final check. What are we at on our monster trackers, everybody? Just out of curiosity.
Tony has one check.
Well, I got two checks.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because you had your little freak out that put you down.
A little? 16 points of damage is not little.
A little freak out.
And Aoife has three.
Aoife has three? Oh, the Aoife's high.
Aoife's on the verge.
Oh, you had none in the beginning, and now you have all of them.
And I will say Rook is at two, because her little freak out in the room against you, Lou, knocked her down from three to two. Everybody was freaking out. Everybody had some, like, decompress. Fuck! All right. So, order, we have Lou in the front, and then we have Tony, and then we want to put Gwen and Penny in the middle.
Gwen and Penny and Aoife, and then Rook in the back, I would say.
As you are walking up this staircase, you are afraid it's going to disintegrate under your feet because it is so rusted and, like, this is something, it looks like it's been outside in the rain, you know, for 100 years and, like, is attached to the back of one of those, like, abandoned houses. And it seems like it takes so long, especially Lou, you know, you're in the lead, so you're getting closer and closer to that black square that leads up into wherever this is going. And all of those ghosts are still there, and their eyes are just following you all as you raise here. So, and there are more of them now. Maybe 100 or so, just crowded around the base of this staircase, waiting to see what happens.
Can you rally the ghosts to be on our side as well, so that we have, like, a Harry Potter moment where they all bum rush the Shadow Lady?
The Lord of the Rings army. Yeah.
You want Lou to give a rallying call?
Your banshee scream? I don't know.
When it's a rallying call, it's just the Xena warrior princess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really think that she would say anything, to be honest, after everybody gave her a bunch of flack for seeing nothing. She just would look at it nervously. I don't, maybe something to think about later, but.
You're noticing that, and thoughts are going racing through your head. You reach the top of this staircase, and you can see that the black square, it's like a wooden trap door that you can push up.
She goes in.
You do, and you have to, like, put some muscle into it as you go in. The heavy wood of this thing, like, slams open, and you are actually flooded with light. Like, pretty dappled light, like, hits your eyes, and it takes you a moment to adjust as you kind of stick your head up, and you see that you're in this, like, atrium room that is connected to a much, much larger room, and you can see that those lights are stars that are shining like silver stars from this night, beautiful night sky up above that you can see through the walls and ceiling of this room, which are made entirely of glass with, like, you know, wrought iron in between, welding it all together. So you're in some kind of, like, conservatory space, like on the very top of the castle. All around, you can just get a cursory view of where you are. You'd see it's a big open space, and around you can see, like, there's some shattered furniture and stuff, but there are steps that lead up into the room proper that are obscuring your view of whatever is, like, in the bulk of this room.
She will take a moment, like, hold her breath, seeing it's really pretty after all this, like, horror that they've been in. She'll kind of hoist herself up and move to the side to let everybody else through and peer around, keeping an eye out for the fucking Lady of Shadows who is in here. Not a big deal.
Yeah, you all, like, filter up into this room, and yeah, you all see that same thing. So this room is quite large. It's longer than it is wide. It's about, say, like, 40 feet wide and, like, 60 feet long, a rectangle. and the ceiling about 20 feet tall in all directions, and it's kind of curved on either side with, again, all this just gorgeous glasswork up on the top, which is all just clear to allow for a great view of the night sky. And then the edges that are flat are all these like beautiful stained glass windows that depict various like woodland creatures and plants. Just absolutely gorgeous. Whatever furniture was in here has been shattered, smashed, or removed, so there's very little actual structures left. But amidst all of this beauty, there are these three very strange things that seem kind of out of place. They're like these large pylons made out of the silvery colored metal that have been like stabbed through the ceiling at different points in this room. So there are three of them. So at the far end of this rectangle, there are these two tall silver things in each corner. And then kind of in the center of the room, there is one. So they make like this triangle on the edge of the room. And they're tall. They're like 10 feet or so that go up into the air through the shattered glass. And they look bizarre. It's like looking at science fiction technology, you know, in a fantasy world. Yeah, other than that, that seems to be what's up. It's very dim in here, obviously. It's just those, like, glow of stars. And every once in a while, the view is obscured by some of those blackish gray clouds. It looks like you're maybe pre-storm, but this is the first time you've seen stars in this whole world you've been in. It's been this horrible, dusty, gray world. So here you are. You do not see any people in this room, but you're standing on one very far end, and there certainly are plenty of shadows in here.
Lourdes is whispering because she's nervous. She's like, I don't know. Is a ritual something that you can start immediately, or is it something you need to have her in sight?
She, like, has the book open and kind of she flips it open, you know, and she's, like, stumbling with the holy water and, like, everything. And, you know, Penny is, like, kind of helping her get her situation. And she's looking frantically. She's like, I mean, do we think, is this, like, the haunting place? Right? Because you have to be in the haunted place. And then, I guess, yeah, I could probably just start now.
Okay.
She's looking around.
Doesn't really seem like there's anywhere else to go.
Right, well, why don't you do this? And she, like, puts some candles, like, down on the ground around her and is, like, having Penny light them. And she kind of stands up. And so she moves into, like, the first third of the room or so. So kind of up the atrium steps and at the end of the long rectangle on the far side away from those pylons. And the minute, like, she's settled and everything, and there's a quiet, so quiet in this room, she starts reading and saying these words. And immediately, as she reads the first lines, there's, like, this hiss of wind that moves through this space. As suddenly, like, this gust picks up and chills you all to the bone as it moves through, and the candles, like, go out around her. And Gwen looks nervously at Penny and is like, light them again. And you hear like a zzz, zzz kind of sound, a zapping sound almost coming from these three silvery things on the far side. And you see their silver surface begins to waver, almost like there's an invisible like heat or something coming off of them. And Gwen starts to, like, read the next line, and there's the sound of shattering glass from somewhere, and there's a rolling thunder sound from up above as the stars start to blink out and storm clouds roll in.
Blue is going to start making her way a little closer, standing between Gwen and these pylons, and try to be ready for what's coming. Also try to figure out what the fuck is going on with those pylons, like the invisible wavering. I don't know. I don't think she's ever seen that before, so it's a little hard to say.
Because you are, you know, you're a tinkerer, you're covert ops, like you're all about making things. Why don't you go ahead and give me some kind of check to see if you can figure out what the hell these like machine things are doing.
Is that just straight intelligence or investigation?
Whatever you would like to use for that, whatever you think you're...
I'm going to do investigation.
Yeah, investigation. Maybe, yeah, you're looking at them, trying to put the pieces together. That makes sense to me.
So 19.
Okay. So, yes, this is obviously technology you have never seen before, but there are some interesting things that have happened that are similar to things you have observed in your studies. Like that zapping kind of sound, it's electric. It's like that same sound you notice like when you get like static shock. That's what these things kind of sound like. And the shape of them, it is weird, but they do resemble like lightning rods, if you had to guess, like on a really big scale. And whatever that zapping thing was, maybe they're somehow activating or like, and they are reaching up to the sky and the storm seems to have something to do. So you think these are some kind of like electric conduits of some kind. You have a good feeling of like, oh, touching would be bad.
Yeah, no touchy.
No touchy, touchy bad.
Okay.
And they seem to be powering on. Is like...
Is there anything like connected with a wire or anything that it looks like it's going to power up or...
No, that's why also it's like, what is it doing? You don't see anything that it's powering up, but clearly they are powering up, which is deeply concerning. Clearly this is happening and you're examining and everybody is like in these positions, right? And Gwen is just like reading through this thing. She's hauling ass trying to get through it as fast as she can. When another like peal of thunder rolls from above and through those like panes in the ceiling where these like pylons are shattered out, rain starts to patter down and this full blown storm has rolled in up above now. And it is very dark now in this room. And there is like a flash of blue electricity that comes from between like the pylons. So right in the center there, and you see the outline of a figure. A woman with long, like, stringy black hair. And you can see her shoulders and her face is obviously, it's backlit, right, by the storm. So you can't really see. But you all hear, like, a whisper that rings across the room. It's not a whisper. You can all hear it, even over the storm. Why have you come?
And Aoife will kind of step forward towards Lou, towards these pylons in the center of the room, just sort of inherently towards the, you know, the sort of silvery glowing light that they're giving off. And she will throw out a light on like her backpack as she steps forward and she says, "We've come because we originally came for a book, but we've stayed thus far despite finding it because we seek to right a wrong that's been done over 100 years ago. We've seen how broken and tormented you are, and knowing what you have meant to so many people, we wanted to see if there's anything that we could do to help you, whether that means to lay you to rest or to reunite all these disparate parts of yourself, but we all can see you're in pain."
And there's like a howling laugh that like rings out across the space, and the way it like bounces between the glass and echoes, and it's so loud and just like grates against all the nerves in your body as this like cackle comes from this being and not this being from everywhere. "You wish to help me, you fool. I am the strongest of them, of course, and I must survive. I will survive. I will not disappear." Everybody roll some initiative for me.
Lou got a 23.
Rook got a 21, and Aoife got a whopping 13.
Tony got a towering 7.
Okay, and then I'm going to put Gwen and Penny on the same turn, and just they're going to be doing the ritual, focusing on that. Lou, you are going first, but right before that, we get a fun lair action is going to happen at the top of every round. So as she says, "I will not disappear," you all now see the blue like light travel up each of these pylons here. And it's very weird because it looks like a thin ring that isn't really touching the material itself, but it's just like the electricity like crackling up of these things. And with the storm up above, you can see every once in a while one of these lightning strikes from above will hit the top of these pylons and like travel down and cause them to bounce with more of this blue light. This like weird neon light now is filling the room, so it's not completely dark, which is nice, giving you just enough to see the front of this woman, which is a face you have seen now several times before, the one that appeared in the painting of that feast hall, the one that appeared in the mirror, Aoife, that you put back together, that, like, ghostly pale woman with those black veins just under the skin. And as these pylons light up, you can see that from the top of each of them, which are these kind of circular balls, these glowing lights appear. They're about the size of, like, a basketball, just these, like, crackling white lights that are, like, bobbing and drifting down towards you all. So those all appear around the pylons. And, Lou, what the hell are you doing?
Good fucking question. All right. I want to move forward. As I move closer to these pylons, do I feel like I'm not able to pass between them? Or...
No, you think you can. You think if you touched them, it would be ouchies. Okay. But they are arranged in a triangular pattern, and you could absolutely step through.
So, having stepped forward, about how far am I from her right now?
So I would say you are all, like, 20 feet into the room, and the room is 60 feet long, and she's kind of... So she's about 20 feet away from you, I think, in the middle.
Okay, 20 feet. I love that. That works for me. So I'm going to go ahead and run towards her.
I will say you will be running past one of the glowing ball creatures that has appeared on, like, the southern pylon that's kind of in the middle of the room. So it's up to you whether or not you think that's a creature.
She's going to, I mean, probably have the thought that it could be, but she's going to continue to move past it.
Okay, I'm going to get an attack of opportunity. All right. Ooh, an 18 to hit you.
Okay, that's going to hit.
Fuck. Okay, as this thing, like, as you run past it, you're like, is it energy? Is it a creature? What? And as you do, you see the ball moves with a sudden, like, rapid pace, and, like, this bolt of blue electricity whips out and, like, lashes across your body, and you feel, like that horrendous, like, zap as your heart stops for, like, just a moment as you're hit with this bolt of electricity for 8 lightning damage. This thing zaps you as you run on by.
So I'm gonna move up to her. And then I'm going to go ahead and activate my sonic dagger, so I will still get sneak attack, and go ahead and make an attack on her. 18 to hit?
An 18 will hit. And as you stab into her, you do realize, like, this woman is made of flesh. As much as, like, this whole ghosty, like, vibes are going on and all the ghosts, like, whatever she is, it feels like stabbing into a corpse.
Ooh. For 19 points of thunder damage.
Woo-wee! Okay, yeah, that is a great hit. So as you make contact with her, yeah, you discover, okay, not incorporeal. Great, 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 great. But it does have that, like, that same feeling of, like, stabbing into a corpse in the way that's, like, hard and, like, leathery almost. But as your blade, you know, makes contact, you can see, you know, a chunk of her flesh is, like, blown off by this, like, thunderous force. And she seems surprised by that. She kind of looks down, like, into her abdomen where you've stabbed, and looks back up at you, and you just see that, like, the black film in her eyes just looking at you with such hatred, and, like, the veins in her face kind of intensify.
She is also met with a look of confusion, because Lou really didn't think that she was gonna hit something solid there, so... For my offhand attack, I'm going to go ahead and try to stab in with that cold iron dagger. That is going to be a 17 to hit.
Okay. And she is a fey creature, so basically just act as if this was a +1 magic dagger.
Okay. Then 18 to hit.
Okay. Yeah, that will hit again.
4 points total.
So where that cold iron strikes, you can see her skin, like, burns away in this, like, almost radiant flash. And she lets out a hissing sound of, like, deep pain. And she says, "You dare bring that here?"
You didn't really leave us much of a choice, lady.
Anything else for you? You pissed her off sufficiently.
I think it's going to be the end of my turn and maybe the last thing I ever do. So I'm good.
Oh, boy. And you just hit her with cold iron. You just brought a gun to a knife fight. Yay! Where do we want to start? She's going to reach up with, like, lightning speed as, like, you now have, you know, these two weapons, like, kind of stuck in her, and her arms just swing up on either side and clutch your face on both sides. And where her skin makes contact with yours, you just feel this cold, cold corpse flesh and like that shock tingle like all over your skin. Ooh, 19 to hit. Yeah, that's for sure. 15 psychic damage, and I need you to succeed on a charisma saving throw for me, DC 14.
Yeah, no.
All right. As she touches you, and there's this pulse, like the physical sensations are so uncomfortable. It's that flash of like cold, and then that electric shock, and then that wave of just horror hits you as just this feeling of just overwhelming rage and regret and just sadness, honestly, like whips through your mind. And you experience something, maybe it's a memory, a dream, you're not sure. It's something that's not yours, but you're seeing it through your eyes as this laboratory just explodes around you, and you're seeing your own hands like tear at these pipes and the glass, and you can feel the pain in your hands as like your fingers are just bleeding from the smashing and the destruction, but it's all you can do. You have to do it. You have to do it because no one else can ever go through this ever again. You are stunned until the end of your next turn as this wave of psychic energy and this memory just tears through you.
I am going to use my uncanny dodge to half that to 7.
Fair enough. What is it? What is it that is keeping you from taking some of that psychic damage?
The knowledge of all the people that are literally behind her right now, all the promises that she had made, trying to keep everyone's spirits up. She just is not going to let herself fully succumb to this emotion that's just not going to help her right now to protect them.
And you, I think you would recognize too, that feeling, that rage, that everything, like that is kind of the same feeling that triggered that response in you before. And like in a flash, you kind of understand what this woman is about. Yeah, that's rough being stunned. Okay, so that is good. That is going to be her turn. So that is going to bring us now to Rook.
Rook is going to run up with Lou, seeing as is taking this opportunity to cut some fucking throats.
Yeah.
Do some throat heart ripping, and is first and foremost on her way over there, is going to cast protection from good and evil on herself, seeing that this cold iron dagger has done considerable amount of damage. She's going to take the precaution to make herself be protected from Fey, so that any Fey have disadvantage on attack rolls against her, and she can't be charmed or frightened by Fey.
So what do we think is like the least nerdy way that Rook can cast this spell? Because she doesn't consider herself much of a spellcaster, but she does have things as like a monster hunter, like as part of her actual subclass is like monster hunter. So what do we think that is? Is it like a, does she wear something? She has like a charm that she pulls out, or like some nasty shit she rubs on her face, or like she seems really into like, she was into eye paste and stuff. So maybe it's something disgusting. She rolls around in some piss for a second.
Definitely, yeah. It's she takes out clippings from the chicken hut, the, like clippings of the talons from its feet, and then just like dusts them in her large, like heavy curls.
Okay, yeah. So great.
And as her bonus action, she's going to designate the Lady of Shadows as her slayer's prey. So whenever she gets an attack roll, or whenever she makes a successful attack against them, she'll get to do some extra damage, and that'll be her turn.
And she can run up to, you want to like have her flank Lou, I'm guessing. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And luckily that creature only has one reaction, so it can't make an opportunity attack against Rook as she passes by. Sweet. All right. So Rook is up in there, up in the shit. So Aoife, we come to you.
Thinking that all is perhaps not quite lost, she, you know, is continuing to stride forward towards the center of this room where now the Lady of Shadows is flanked by Rook and by Lou, and bolstering herself up, standing as big and as tall and puffing herself up as much as she can. She's gonna say, "We clearly have the tools to fight you." And like in motions toward this like gash in her decrepit flesh that Lou has ripped open, and will say, "It doesn't have to be like this. If you call upon your knowledge to be able to reunite your three parts of yourself, I know that you mourn the loss of Gwen, I will be willing to stay and stand in her place.
Do you want to do intimidation or do you want to do persuasion? Because I feel like you got a little of both in there. Like, we have the tools to fight you, B, was the intro. But the let me stay with you forever, hun, is the tale. So what are we going for?
We'll go for persuasion. Ooh, that's very good. That is a 25. And I will say, she's willing to mark off a tracker on her thing to, like, forge this as a fey bond.
Okay. So you present the offer, I'll say, because that's always step one of any fairy deal. One, present. Two, the step is accept. So if this woman accepts your offer, then it will be done. As you say this, I guess the two of you who are close to her would see her pause, yeah, in the middle of this and just be confused, I think, by this. And a lot of different emotions play across her face very, very quickly in that, like, 6 second, you know, thing. She opens her mouth and she, like, screams, and you can see, like, the crackle of, like, blue lightning. And she says, None can replace her, and we cannot be together. They cannot handle it. They cannot handle what it is to lose a child. It is for us! And you feel that rejection, like, slap across you. You are not going to be able to replace Gwen. And she is not willing to combine yourselves. But you can tell, Aoife, you have shaken her with that. Something is off kilter now with her. She seems to be considering there's something more going on than it's just like these people storming her castle, right?
All right. I think with that, she'll take her bonus action to give Lou a bardic inspiration. And that'll be your turn.
Okay, cool. Are you moving into the room at all? Did I miss that?
She would be probably about 20 feet away from everyone, towards that middle.
Yeah, where the ritual is going down, I'll say. So yeah, you take up that flanky position there. So, and just so you all know, I moved one of the little minions in between Rook and Aoife for next round. So you have at least that enemy turn to think about what you want to do. But that is going to bring us to one of these little glowing balls of light. Aoife, so you're standing there in front of the ritual, and Tony is there in front of the ritual. So a little ball of light is going to drift towards you, Tony, because you're wearing a bunch of metal stuff. I imagine it would be attracted to that. So one of these things, like, it moves from that southern pylon, the one, like, right in the center of the room, and it is coming towards you. And it reaches out with one of these, like, lightning bolts. You can see its body flashes blue very brightly as it's trying to make contact with you. A 16 to hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this lightning bolt, like, smacks you in the chest here, and you are going to take 6 lightning damage. Tony, it's your turn. You can respond if you like in kind. One of these glowing balls is right there in front of you, and it looks like the other two in the far end are going to be drifting towards the two who are squaring off the Lydia's shadow in the center of the room.
I don't think I could do anything effective against a ball of light. I'm not magic in any way whatsoever. I guess why not try? But I won't do it with my sword since it did electric damage. I guess I'll try to whip it.
I will say it won't make a difference between your sword and your whip.
Good to know. Thank you for sharing. I'll do my sword. That is 15 to hit.
Yeah, a 15 will hit this thing, so you can bring this the right down.
And that's 11.
Math land is hard. 11 non-magical slashing damage?
Yes.
Okay, so you do hit, but it is like the case when you've hit other magical creatures before where that damage is going to be halved because this has resistance. So you still do 5 damage to this thing. So you are doing something, and you see you're cutting off quite a bit of the energy of this thing. Like, you've almost halved its hit point with the 5 damage. So these things aren't They pack a punch, but they squishy. So you did absolutely do something to this thing.
Okay, that sounds good. And the lady is, like, further. How far exactly is she from mice?
She's 20 feet away from you. So because it's kind of like you all in this group, right, around this ritual, and then 20 feet away is the secondary group, which is the lady, Rook, and then Lou right now squaring off. And soon to be the two other ghosts.
All right.
Balls of light. Fuck. It's been a while since I've done it. It's okay.
Okay, we're going to hold on to our throat ripping agenda just for now. And we're going to take our extra attack and try and take this ball of light down.
Get out of here.
Ooh, hell yeah. That's going to be a 24 to hit. So, oh, yeah. Yeah. And then that's going to be another 10 damage.
Ew. Okay, so have that to 5. And this thing probably isn't going to survive another swing based on, like, it's gotten very small. It started out of, like, basketball. You got it down to, like, tennis ball in this, like, by carving off whatever that electric energy is. And you see, like, the electricity that forms its body, it does, like, travel down your sword and kind of, like, stop at the hilt, you know, your guard where you are. So you are, like, slicing through the energy of this thing.
Woohoo!
Yeah! All right, anything else for you?
Quick team, tell me, should I action surge, do it again, or should I save it?
I would save it, because if it moves past you, you get a reaction anyway.
I save it. That's my turn.
I will say, if you want to activate your fighter's, the guard stance or whatever, that's a bonus action, right? So is that something you want to...
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll take my fighting stance, my defensive stance.
Okay, as your bonus action. So you assume the stance, and what does that do again? Everybody gets plus 2?
It gives plus 2 to their AC, yeah.
Cool. Aoife, you're going to get that too, because you're within 5 feet of Tony. Tony, do a protect. So Aoife, Penny, and Gwen all have that bonus from you. Oh, hell yeah. And then that's going to be the balls of light. Great balls of fire. They are drifting in a triangular formation. So one is going to be coming for Rook, and then one is going to be coming for Lou. So here we go. 16.
They get advantage too.
Ooh. Okay, just the 16. Zap, that's going to be 6 points of lightning damage. This thing, yeah, comes up from behind you and just zaps you right in the butt.
Everyone's always coming for that booty. I don't know what to say.
They're coming for that booty. Got a great booty. It just, it's so attractive.
These cakes be fresh as hell.
And then it's going to be a 15 on
that
Rook.
Does not hit Rook.
Yeah, so this thing zaps, and some of her hair that has the nasty toenails in it, yeah, smells bad. It smells real bad, but she's okay. It's okay. It'll grow back when she goes to sleep and ages a year. So that's good. And then that is going to carry us down to Gwen and Penny. Continue reading off this ritual and get through another line or so of this. And you see Aoife and Tony, probably in the middle of this, both Gwen and Penny start, like, shivering. It's cold in this room. There's, like, you know, a gust blowing through and all the storm and stuff and water starting to fall. But there's definitely, like, a bluish tinge that has come over both of them. And you can see even Gwen is, like, shaking a little bit as she's continuing to read the words. But she's staying faithfully at it. And Penny is, like, blocking, you know, the wind from these candles, trying her best to, like, keep them lit in between stanzas here. Then we come up back to the top of the round. So our lair action here. Yeah, so you see that. You see your friends, that blue tinge. That's weird. There's this glowing ball of light here in front of you. That's weird. It's all, a lot is going on. But you also notice that those panels on the side of the room where that stained glass is, there's something odd about them. They catch your eye in a flash of light. They just shine really brightly, really reflectively, almost as if there was a lot of light bouncing off of them, but there isn't. But you see things reflected in them. You see a girl with black hair and these wings on her back standing up to this woman, this lady of shadow, you see, and this, like, aura of horrible lightning shadow is, like, storming out from behind this woman, and this girl just stands there in front, and you can hear ringing very distantly as you see this scene. Stop. Stop. This isn't you. This isn't you. I love you just the way you are. Stop. And I need both of you to make wisdom saving throws for me. You're being pulled into this vision.
Tony got a 9.
Natural 20 for a total of 21.
So Tony, you are definitely going to fail. So on a failed save, the target becomes frightened.
Ugh, I hate that. It's not a good look.
yeah. sucks. But as what is happening to you, you are seeing this scene. And at first it's like something, you know, you'd like be watching a scene. And then you feel yourself there. And this woman is in front of you. This woman who you have loved and trusted is become this monstrous thing. And just, yeah, these black ropes of like shadow and lightning are crackling around her. And you do not recognize her anymore. And you know she is going to kill you. And that hard, deep piece of you that you didn't want to admit that someone you loved so much could hurt you. That piece breaks. And you are filled with fear looking up at your mother. And that is going to be, so 1 minute, you're going to be frightened. At the end of each of your turns before the spell ends, you are going to have to succeed on a wisdom saving throw or take psychic damage as this happens. And I am going to go ahead and give you a save at the end of each of your turns to see if you can end the effect. But that's going to be rough. So you are consumed by this fear right now. So frightened, the condition, a frightened creature has disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of its fear is within the line of sight. So that is as long as basically you can see this image, you're trapped here and you can't willingly move closer to the source of your fear. So basically you're going to have to stay in place because this is like the walls are playing this scene around you. And that was just the lair action. Fun. Aoife, you, because you succeeded, you see this scene like play out. And then it fades away. And it's disturbing, but you are like a third party seeing it. Whereas Tony is now trapped in the psychic horror of that moment. So it ends for you, but... And then Lou, you are stunned at this moment here. So you are quivering in place. But at the end of your turn, you come back to yourself.
Just in time for the lady's turn.
Let's see if I survive.
Well, now there is a big rook there, too. You know what? She's just going to keep pushing it. She's going to use her once per day. This woman also, since Aoife, like, spoke to her, she has not really stopped screaming from that rage, that moment that she seemed to have evoked emotionally. And she holds out like her hands in front of her, and there's this pulse of electricity that travels through the room and kind of hits everyone here. Oh, sorry. Nope. It's only shorter range. So it's only going to be our dear Lou and Rook. Wisdom saving throws, please.
Because Rook has up protection from good and evil from Fae. She cannot be made afeared.
I'm not afeared of you.
I got a 16.
Okay. Rook still needs to make the save because there's some nasty damage as a kicker too, though. But 16, you are going to succeed. Good. So we're only taking half damage.
Oh, Lord. That's a natural one.
Oh, Jesus, Rook. Okay. She's like, I can't be afraid, but psychic damage goes right in there. Rook has no defense against brain stuff. Okay, so I'll roll that real quick.
I am going to use my uncanny dodge on this again, since I can see her.
Yes. 31 points of psychic damage is the full tamale. So you're getting the half tamale, so 15 for you, Lou, because you did make the save. But Rook has taken 31 points of psychic damage.
Oof. And then I get to half that again.
Oh, yes. Wee! How's Rook doing? She probably is down...
Rook is at about half health. Rook is pretty beefy.
Good for her. What's that like?
What's that feeling like? So as this like pulse comes over you two, again, it's these images in your mind, these images that aren't quite yours. And it's this girl, again, you just can't seem to get her out of whatever this state is. And there's like the sound of shattering glass and tearing metal and a scream that you know, and everything goes dark. And then there's that thought that you can't get out. It's like, oh my God, what have I done? What did I just do? What did I just do? As the world is black. And that scream is just echoing through your head and it won't stop. It just tears at you. It tears at you. Luckily, that was a once per day thing, so that's good. The veil of nightmares has passed, so moving along.
Truly, that was a nightmare. Good job.
Ow! She's like trying not to cry, but obviously crying as like the psychic energy has destroyed her.
Oh man, for real. So for her, she had the arrows that were tipped with cold iron, right? Or did she have specifically a weapon?
Yep, she has 10 of those. 10 of those bolts.
Nice. All right, I will track those. So she is going to, as she is right up against the Lady of Shadow, she's going to pull out her big honking crossbow, and she's going to load up and fire 2 shots at the dear lady here.
And she has a crossbow expert, so no disadvantage for close range.
Mm-hmm. And allows her to ignore the loading property, so she can actually take both of her attacks. So the first one is a 26.
Ooh. Lord.
And that's going to trigger her favored foe. So when she successfully makes an attack roll, she's going to mystically bond it. So that Lady Shao is going to take more damage.
Yeah.
14 damage for the first attack. And then a 27 for the second attack.
Stop killing Fae Rook. Fae killer.
Stop being so good at your job. And that's going to be another 14 points of damage.
Yeah, these shots are, like, blasting through this woman's body and just, like, pulverizing bone and tissue and decaying flesh. All the electricity is making it smell very, like, bad rotten barbecue.
Ugh. And that will be her turn, yeah.
Yeah, so Rook is doing work as she's blasting through, pushing through the tears of, like, that experience that Lou, like, you're the only one who also knows how horrible that just was. And then we've got a wisp. So this is, let's say the one attacking Rook is going to go ahead and go, no. 21 to hit. Yikes. So it's going to be 5 lightning damage to Rook.
Yeah, that'll happen. But as a reaction, she'll use her absorb elements. And like with her crossbow bolts, you'll see like they begin to whir with this electricity as like some of that energy gets sapped into her bolts. So she'll take half damage.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Doing a much better job. See, this is just always better when you give a PC a chance to run an NPC because they can actually do this shit. They don't have 20 different people to think about. Okay. Hell yeah. All right. And then Aoife, we are going to come to you. And then it'll be another wisp and then it'll be Tony.
So there is a wispy boy on Tony, right? Still?
Yeah. Who's looking hurt.
Aoife is going to, first and foremost, give Tony a Bardic Inspiration die to bolster her dear, poor, frightened friend. And then she is going to... I don't think insulting these orbs of light is going to do anything. So she is going to begrudgingly take out her rapier and try to maneuver around Tony's still and statuesque body and give it a jab.
Yeah, all right.
It's a natural one.
Oh, God. It's, yeah, it's like trying to stab a firefly, and it's embarrassing, and it's sad, and I think you maybe roll your ankle, and I think you take 1 point of damage. That's just, like, so, so embarrassingly bad. Damn.
Yeah, you just hear a yell, God damn it, feck under her breath is...
And to add insult to injury, the wisp that you just tried to attack is going to attack you in return. So a 22 to hit. God, these things are rolling. Well, that's 13 max lightning damage on... Fuck! As you stumble and fall and this thing blasts you with an electric bolt.
Ouch.
Okay, so Tony, it is your turn. You are trapped in this fucking nightmare, but you can... react now. You can take your turn. You are frightened, so you have disadvantage on attack rolls and stuff, and you can't move, but this wisp is still in range and you can still try and hit it.
Yeah. We're gonna try our best to snap ourselves out of our little scaredy cat state and kill this little wispy ball. We have 2 tries anyway, so why not? Well, they both sucked, but the first one was a 13 to hit. Fuck.
No, that will not hit.
And okay, so 15.
Okay, 15 will hit.
She's a shaking in her nice boots, but it swings anyway. So that's 11 damage.
Cool. 5 is enough. What does it look like when you disperse this little lightning creature?
I feel like it sounds like a small, tiny little clap because the lightning dissipates. So it's just kind of like a pop. Yeah. It pops.
Cool. Amazing. Yeah, so there's this little pop and this thing goes out of existence, but like as soon as that little victory like psychs you up, you're back in that fear and you know she's going to kill you. She's going to kill you if you don't get out of here. You have to get out of here. She is going to kill you. It's just racing through your head. Make me that wisdom saving throw, please.
Okay. And I have that D8, don't I? Ooh, but you know what? I done rolled a... It might not be enough. Can I decide afterwards if I want to use that D8 or I have to use it?
What's your total with everything now?
16.
I'll say spend it because you're going to get your temporary hit points equal to the number that you roll on the Bardic Inspiration die. So that'll get you a little bit of wiggle room in the health.
Well, that's sexy.
I will say also, if it matters, you're making a wisdom saving throw now to resist the spell effect, and then you're about to make a save to see if you can end this effect. So you might want to save it for to see if you can end it. This is whether or not you take damage this round.
Oh, I see. Okay, well then So 16 for the first one.
16 is enough. How do you get over this vision? What are you doing?
If the fear is I'm seeing my mother, like, scold me or something like that, I think a memory of me trying to make up for bad behavior arrives where I come to my mom with some fresh picked flowers and I'm sorry and I'm so sorry. I know I should have cleaned my room and, you know, watered the garden and I promise I'll do better. Please don't be mad at me. And she takes the flowers.
Yeah, so maybe it's like memories. Yeah, you're transposing your own mother into this, right? You're negating some of this horror and realizing, like, this isn't you. This isn't you. And you're able to fight.
I have a good relationship with my mother.
I'm not doomed to this terrible fucking story. And I really like that. So I'm going to give you advantage on this save now to try and end this effect. Aww. So make me that wisdom save again.
Beautiful. Oh, beautiful. So 18 for the wisdom save.
And it is, you succeed as like you kind of, you switch the image of this horrible shadow figure over you and whoever's eyes you're looking through, like you are able to disconnect and realize this is not me. This is not me. People are good. People are good. And you push through it and that glass, you know, image around you that had you trapped, it fades away and that scene ends for you. That moment of horror wasn't yours. It wasn't yours.
Beautiful. She clutches her little lily brooch that her mom gave her.
Oh, good parenting can make so much of a difference. This is therapy. this is a therapy bite. And then on the other side, we have that last wisp that is coming in. That one went for Rook before, right? So now this one is coming in for Lou. Zip. Only a 7 to hit you, though, so you were prepared for it this time, Lou. You're like, fuck, no! I'm tired of getting shocked.
I moved the cakes just in time. I know, I'm having a bad time up here. It's not a fun ride. I want to get off.
And so for the last round here, Gwen and Penny are continuing to read. And luckily, they have not been interrupted. You all have been very effectively distracting the Shadow Lady between your startling propositions and your just general bringing the pain. So that is good. The wisp in front of them is gone. You do see that they continue to look worse and worse as they are saying this ritual, right? Like the blue is very apparent now in their face. Their lips have turned blue. And you hear like a cough that like racks out, like a racking, one of those really gross wet coughs comes from Penny. There's the splattering sound as just like scarlet hits the floor. She seems to be coughing up blood.
Thank you for listening to part 1 of episode 27, Swan Song. Stay tuned for the thrilling conclusion next episode.